And welcome to Endgame Chat. This is Saturday, July 8th, 2017. It's Season 11, Episode 26. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228 is the number. Check out endgamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at endgamechat. You can find us on Facebook, same place. You can email us, everyone, at endgamechat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch, head over to twitch.tv. In the search bar up at the top, you can type in game chat, and you'll be able to find us. You can also just go to endgamechat.net, and the box over to the left has all the links that you need to get in touch with us or to watch us live or to see old episodes if you want to do that as well. So we've got a chat room set up there at Twitch that you can join in on and chat with everybody in there live while we broadcast. Matt is back this week. It was RJ was gone the first week, yes. And Matt was gone the next week, and now Matt is back, and then we had a Sarah in the meantime who joined
we
us.
We had a Sarah.
It was four ways of confusing.
A Sarah sighting. How about that?
She sent me a text yesterday.
Yeah.
In fact, I was in the middle of the movie. I was watching Spider-Man whenever you sent me a text.
How was Spider-Man?
And I was like, yeah, come on. You're welcome anytime. You
thank
are
you.
Welcome anytime. Before we move
more
on.
More so than me and RJ, I would say.
Yeah. There you go. Get that out of the way.
So how was Spider-Man?
Spider-Man was, I loved it, man.
Okay.
I really, really enjoyed it.
It's on my list of things
really
to see.
Really enjoyed it.
I also want to see Baby Driver.
Man, you are behind. Seen them both.
I was busy last weekend.
Why in the weekend? Why not during the week?
Because I work during the week.
I know. Well, so do I. But I saw Baby Driver and Spider-Man, and I worked during the week.
Well,
you know.
My job's not as flexible, I guess. I don't know.
I have no idea. You're actually more flexible to see it because you the theaters.
Fight for freedom wherever there's
the
trouble.
Theaters that I go to. I go here in Montgomery when I go see it.
Yeah.
So, and you're like right here, I guess, in Montgomery.
Yeah.
I've never really talked about where you live.
I live, yeah. East Montgomery.
We've never had that discussion. Here's the weird thing, folks.
I've known him for so long, I don't know where he lives.
That's exactly right. I've known him for a very long time, and I do not know exactly where he lives. It's very interesting. He knows where I live because we used to do the show out of my house,
right?
I live East Montgomery.
Yeah, but I've never talked to you before. I've never been like, hey, I'll come over. No, never talked about that at all.
Yeah,
interesting. Anyway,
I'm not that exciting.
You're closer to a theater than I am. To want to go. So I go whenever I'm off work. I get off. Of course, I get off at 3.
Okay, no,
but
I get off at like 5:30.
Still. You go to one of the shows at night and go see it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, you should. Baby Driver, I enjoyed immensely.
I like Edgar Wright stuff. Mm. Big fan.
I enjoyed that. I think I probably enjoyed Spider-Man better, but they're two different movies. But
yeah,
still.
different experiences, I bet.
Yeah. No.
And then War for the Planet of the Apes, I want to see.
Yeah, that's next week. And then Dunkirk's the week after, which is another one I want to see. But
Movies.
I really want to see Dunkirk, but
yeah,
that's going to be a hard movie to watch.
They released, and I just...
Yeah, part of the sound.
They released an 8-minute clip of Zimmer's score for the film, and it just...
Does it make you want to go play Burnout to it?
No. He doesn't... Zimmer, I mean, sidebar here as we talk about non-gaming related stuff. I'm a massive fan of, obviously, film scores.
That's
pretty much... The only film and video game scores. That's the only vinyl that I own are film scores and video game scores.
I wish I could say the same.
That's the only vinyl I feel worth picking up because usually they're in some kind of collector.
Yeah.
Just going back to the game thing, I got The Witcher 3 on vinyl.
Ooh.
500 copies?
I was going to say $500.
Oh, wow. No, only 500 copies. I got it from a German site. I was lucky, you know, and I waffled on it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was like... I looked at when it went up for sale. I clicked on it and I was like, it's like $50.
It might be worth 500 later on. If there's only 500 copies later on,
it might be
that much.
You know, all right, I'll just click buy. So I clicked buy.
You have a vinyl player?
A record player? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I don't know. So like, you just might collect it for the artwork and the prettiness. I don't know if you actually listen to it.
Yes. Well, some of it I do, some of it I don't. Fight See? Club's a problem. The Fight Club vinyl that I own, that Mondo produced.
Was it scratch or something?
No, it's just to open it up. There's a little tab on the thing.
Oh, I have to break it?
And it says destroy something beautiful.
No.
So you have to rip it. Open the thing in order to get to the vinyl, and I'm a little...
You can't do it, can you?
I'm a little hesitant.
I wouldn't. I would just get, like, the CD.
In case like that, you get two of them.
Yeah.
True.
One you break, one you seal.
Yeah, I'm not that big on buying things double. You know, I'm going to keep this one unopened and I'm going to open this one up. I've never been big on that.
How about games?
No, I don't buy games to keep one sealed and then open up the other one type thing.
But to play on one system and play on another?
Not that I can think of. It's happened before because they may send me a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got it, like, I've got multiple copies of Last of Us Uncharted because they'll send me autographed copies. But in order to support them, I want to go out and buy the one. Or when they send them, it's going to be a while after the game releases before they can send me an autographed copy because they got to send it around the office. So I'm not waiting that long. So I'm going to go out and buy the game anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I do own multiples in that regard, but I've never been... I have Amiibos and I have the Disney Infinity characters that I never opened out of the box. But I didn't buy two because I was never going to play them anyway.
Yeah, never going to use them, so yeah.
You only have one Disney Infinity character.
I got like a couple.
I got the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
I got that one.
Which is my favorite.
I got that one and Jack Skellington, and I got Venom, and I got Black Suit Spider-Man.
I got Black Widow because it was the only way to get a Black Widow action figure for a while.
At the time? Yeah, it was.
What are the rare ones of that collection?
Girls actually enjoyed playing action figures.
I don't know what the rare ones are. Mm-hmm. I know that Amiibos have rare ones because they do, you know, first...
the 8-bit Link I really want, but I can't find anymore.
But I don't know that the Disney Infinity characters ever had any rarities.
I don't think so.
And I wasn't buying them for the rarities, just buying them because those are my favorites.
Kind of neat, yeah.
You know, so that's why I picked them up.
The broom with the... the mop buckets?
Not that I know of.
Oh, see, that, no, that would have been great to go with my Sorcerer's Apprentice.
I wanted a Chernabog, but they never did a Chernabog either, so...
I got a knitted Yoshi. That's all I wanted.
That's the Amiibo side. I do have a knitted Yoshi, yes. Yeah.
What color?
Mine's green.
Yeah, I went with the...
Classic.
I went with the default Yoshi.
I think some of the Amiibos you're going to have to import from Japan, the rare ones, if you want a full collection, I think.
When I go to PAX. When I go to PAX, I don't go to E3 anymore. When I go to PAX, there are vendors, and it is just a wall of Amiibos that they have.
Hey, when's PAX South?
It's January. They haven't put tickets on sale yet for it.
Well, what's the next PAX?
PAX West, PAX Prime, Seattle.
Okay, yeah. That's same time as Dragon Con, right?
Labor Day weekend, yeah.
So are you going to that?
I am, yeah. I just...
If you find a 8-bit Link...
Oh, I'm not kidding. I'll look for that for you.
Please.
I promise you I will. You've got to remind me, though, because I will totally forget. Because I walk by those booths, and I look at that, and I'm like, glad I don't collect those.
Not that I collect it, but like I have my 8-bit Mario. That I love that one. It's just a really neat, you know, to see the 8-bit, you know, sprite in three dimensions. You know, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no. That and Funko Pops and things I'm glad I don't do those anymore.
I've only bought one Funko Pop, but like the ones I've had have been given to me as, you know, gifts and stuff. So I have a couple of them.
It's the same with me. I got gifted some Pac-Man ones. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'll finish that collection out. Not on my own. I'll just say, if you want to get me something.
Which one are you missing?
I've only got Pac-Man and I think the Red Ghost. I need, I think they've got three other ghosts and then a blue ghost and maybe a Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, I think they have Miss Pac-Man.
I'm missing like four more.
Pinky and Clyde.
Yeah, I think I'm missing four. And then they have a blue one.
I know Clyde's orange.
Yeah, they have a blue one. And not the blue one that is the light blue color.
But
the
actual power
pellet.
Yeah.
After the power pellet. The scared ghost.
They've got that one. Yeah, the scared ghost. Exactly what that is. So anyway, back to my whole thing.
Yeah.
They released a sample of Zimmer's score. I'm a big fan of film and video game scores. I'm a big fan of Zimmer's and have all the way back to Broken Arrow and not even for some of his action things, but like Rain Man, True Romance. He did Backdraft. He did Face Off and a couple of others. But he does some really good chase music. He did great chase music that I ripped from The Rock, that I ripped from Pirates of the Caribbean, which it doesn't sound like it's chase music. But let me tell you, when you put that as your soundtrack and you're playing Burnout, which the Xbox 360 would let you do, build your own soundtrack.
Yeah, you can like, really get that adrenaline going.
It was
going.
Fantastic to have that music in the background while I was doing a race in Burnout. It was wonderful, and it provided such a great soundtrack for that game.
Yeah.
And the other one was... there's another one.
Classic composers, yeah, the Zimmer, the Williams, Horner.
Yeah, he did a track from Bad Boys that I grabbed, and that was another one that had great chase music in it. So it was always good. The Dunkirk thing, that's not necessarily chase music, but boy, is it tension building! Massive tension building in that, and I think it's fantastic the way he does things. So I'm a big fan of his. He's performing in Atlanta sometime this month.
Ooh.
I want to try and go to. It's on a Tuesday night, though.
Wow.
I don't know that I can make it. In fact, I think it's not this coming Tuesday, but I think it's Tuesday after next. He'll be at the it's an outside venue in Atlanta, near Atlanta. Verizon Amphitheater? Verizon Wireless Amphitheater?
Okay.
I think they've changed names on those.
I think it has, too, yeah. But it's the amphitheater that he's going to be performing in. He's doing a live performance there. I originally wanted to go so I could hear the Man of Steel and the Wonder Woman track and a couple of others that he's done, but now I'd love to hear that Dunkirk thing performed live.
Did you see the Dunkirk preview before Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
That had no music at all?
None.
That was an intense preview.
Yes. It's been great. So
it didn't need any music to show you
No,
how...
it was, I mean, and there wasn't much dialogue either. Like, mostly it was the... You heard a little snatches of conversation and then really heavy breathing from two stretcher bearers that were running, trying to get somebody onto a ship.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the more impactful previews I've ever seen.
Welcome to Movie Talk. I know. Yeah, we could expand and talk about movies if we wanted to.
If I could see one composer, just in general, it would be Danny Elfman. That'd be my one.
I always wanted to see John, to see Williams perform.
Saw him at Celebration.
Yeah. Was he performing, though?
Yeah.
Yeah? Nice.
Oh, yeah. No, he was there on stage and everything after, like, you know, right after the end when they had all the actors and Harrison. Then up with the screen, there's John Williams.
The one they did in California?
Orlando.
Oh, the one they did just recently?
Yeah, this year.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, that's, you know, for the 40th anniversary. That's why, like, all our minds were just blown collectively.
That's great. Yeah, I was actually going to go up to Boston and watch him perform and never did that. But, yeah, it's rare that they do live performances.
Yeah.
So I figure I should catch those whenever they're around and near that I can do that with. So, anyway, welcome to the show. We'll get to it proper here in just a moment. Yeah, so I was watching Spider-Man. Sarah sent me a text. I was like, yeah, come on. So, yes, I opened my phone during the movie. I don't care.
Are you one of those guys that just answer it too?
I won't talk. No. I'll get up and leave if I need to answer the phone. Otherwise, I'll see who it's calling and then send them a text being like, watch the movie. What's up? You know, what's going on? So, but yeah, luckily it gets sent to my phone and I can check to see if it's any kind of emergency there. So, but yeah, you're welcome anytime you want to come down.
Thank you.
Always. Just give me a heads up. Doesn't even have to be 24-hour notice. Just let me know.
I'm at the door.
Yeah. What are you doing over there?
I'm making paper cranes.
Oh, okay. How many have you made so far?
2, 4, 6, 8.
Oh, I got one.
Yeah.
10. Nice. I'm on number 11.
I got the Purple Power Ranger.
Purple Power?
That movie was horrible, by the way.
Purple Power Ranger?
No, Power Rangers.
You mean the Krispy Kreme commercial?
Yeah. You know,
the extended commercial.
We get donuts here at the radio station on Wednesdays from Krispy Kreme to give out to clients and things. So we have big stacks of donuts.
I'm so sorry.
And
from GNS as well.
And so they came in boxes whenever this movie was out.
Yeah, with the
and it had the power. And I was like, oh wow, I didn't know they were doing any kind of promotion. I didn't realize how heavily.
Then you see the movie, and it's like, oh wow, that's
that
nothing but
heavily.
There's product placement, then there's that.
Yeah.
Was there like, did someone ever make a like a counter screen, like how many times Krispy Kreme showed up in this movie? Like someone in the bottom
it's
right
a,
corner.
It's a,
it is the greatest of them all.
Like no, it is a prime fixture in the end film, in the end mm-hmm. of the end of the movie. Like they have to get to the Krispy Kreme in order to stop the thing from doing the thing, because apparently that's where.
So Krispy Kreme is part of the plot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the thing that they're looking for is residing at a Krispy Kreme, so they have to. So Krispy Kreme is said so many. We gotta get to the Krispy Kreme. It's over at the Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
They don't even say donut shop. They call it a Krispy Kreme.
That's kind of sad, actually.
The greatest of them all.
So, enough with movie stuff.
Yes.
Back into our video gaming thing, because we have a lot of talk. We have a lot to talk about with Sarah. Because we get
really.
To we get well, we get to get your opinions on things.
Sure.
You know?
So, have you bought a PlayStation 4 yet?
No.
All right, never mind.
E3. How did you how did you like E3? Did you watch much of E3?
I did. Mostly I was watching live blogs because I was at work during a lot of the presentations that I cared about, except for, who was it, Bethesda, who was ridiculously
late
at night. Because
yeah, that one was.
I don't get up as early as you do, but I get up at 5:30 in the morning, so that was not happening.
Yeah, well, at least I stayed up for that.
But yeah, so I watched EA. I managed to tune in exactly at the right time to get to the stuff I cared about and skip most of the sports.
Sports.
Who was this? EA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sports.
What did you care about on EA? Battlefront?
Battlefront and yeah, that was the main thing.
I was going to say, you're really not much. EA had not much to show off other than sports and Battlefront.
Yeah, They had a teaser for Anthem, right?
It was basically a teaser saying, watch Microsoft's thing tomorrow for
yes.
more.
Yes.
Basically,
which I did.
Was all that was. Bethesda and then Microsoft. What did you think on Microsoft?
Again,
I know that's what you have. You have an Xbox One.
I do have an Xbox One.
That's all you have.
That is all I have. Well, I have a 360 too.
I know. You don't have an Xbox One S, though. You have an Xbox One.
No, I just have an Xbox
okay.
One. Again, I was excited to see more about Anthem, which basically just looks like Destiny meets Titanfall, but that could be okay.
Well, we know this. We won't really know more until they actually lay it out for us, but we know that you can co-op with four people.
Yes.
Which is instead of at least four people instead of just three. That I know that they were very pertinent on making sure that was shown, because Destiny has three, but we give you four. Four is bigger than three, therefore we're better. Maybe, I don't know, but how many times have I been playing Destiny that I wish I could bring in a fourth person?
Yeah.
Or that we've had to split up, you know? So it's something I wish they did fix for Destiny 2, but they're not going to do it.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me as much because I have exactly two people that I play Destiny with. Over on the Xbox side.
You could have more.
I could. Maybe.
You could.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were talking in the chat room a while ago that my gaming budget is very tight these days. So I saw a lot of stuff that I was like, I'll be interested to see other people play that.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no must-haves coming out of it.
Yeah. I'm not big on it either. They revealed the specs for the Xbox One X. Or, mm-hmm. or not necessarily the specs, but they revealed benchmarks.
Also, worst name ever.
Xbox One X? Yes. I just prefer to call it Scorpio.
Yeah.
Honestly. But they revealed the specs for that, and it's not doing native 4K for your games.
No.
It is not. It's doing a checkerboard thing to get it across for 4K. Mm-hmm.
But at least the 4K wouldn't really have a priority, really, right now, is it?
It seems to be for the console makers.
Yeah, but
it seems to be for Sony and Microsoft.
Yeah, but for television owners, I mean, 4K isn't like readily.
Yeah, no. I mean, the content for 4K is lacking. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But you can't really buy a TV now that isn't 4K. Mm-hmm. You can't go out and buy a new TV, even on lower specs. You know, even on something that's like, well, I don't need a big 55 or 65 inch. I need a 40 inch. Well, they make 40 inch 4K TVs for around $500-$600, or you know, a little bit less than that price of a console apparently now.
Yeah, I'm at 40-42 right now on my screen now, but it's 6-7 years old.
Yeah,
so
I got a 45, works, so, yeah. But I want to get a higher one.
Yeah,
they have some decent prices on last year's models at the BX, that, you know, like $600 for a 4K.
Yeah, typically what I do is like go the
previous year,
the previous session back, you know, not like top of line, but
yeah, 4K is 4K as far as your TV set is concerned. That's where it's going. Mm-hmm. Content's not there for it, or at least a mass amount of content.
Like the
is not
PS4
there.
Doesn't do 4K, but the Pro does, right?
The Pro does 4K. Pro does, yes, yeah. The Pro does 4K, and the Xbox One S does some 4K. It's at least a 4K Blu-ray player. So if you've got movie discs and stuff, you can watch in 4K, and it does it flawlessly and fantastically, and you have no reason to buy the massive priced 4K Blu-ray players that are standalone when you can just buy a console that does it. In fact, if you don't even play games,
it's cheaper.
Worth it for you to just to pick up an Xbox One S.
Yeah.
For all
the other stuff it does.
For your home theater, yeah. So
it's still 200, right?
200, 250, I think, around there somewhere. You know, and that's another thing to go on is the Xbox One X and the hard drive space. They're still only giving you they're upping it up now to a terabyte of hard drive space.
Mm-hmm.
But Forza Motorsport 7 is 100 gigs already.
Yeah, I heard that. One game, 100 gigs.
Yeah. That's before patches.
Before DLC.
That's before any DLC, but the patches that they may have to put into this thing, who knows how bigger the other games are going to be. Mm-hmm. And how much, you know, it's 100 gigs. You'll probably, whatever the disk has on it, probably won't be 100 gigs. But when you put it in the system, it downloads 100
downloads
gigs.
The rest of it.
Because that's how these games work now. You don't play off the disk anymore. The disk is just your licensing fee so that it tells the distributor that you can download this now. And so it downloads the thing to your console.
How about the external hard drives? Like for the PlayStation, they had that patch where you could put in a 8 terabit hard drive external. You can do that.
You can do external hard drives on your Xbox One X. Yes.
Okay. At least you got that.
I mean, that's available, but for people who don't want to do that, they're still limiting hard drive space on these things. Is ridiculous the way that they do them. I mean, they'll offer when the Xbox One S and just when the consoles come out, they started at 500,
right.
And then they had terabyte options.
Yeah.
So they had different SKUs, and I think they'll do the same thing. I think they're moving now to where the default is going to be a terabyte because the Pro comes with a terabyte, the PS4 Pro, and now the Xbox One X comes with a terabyte default by default. There is no lower than that you can get.
But the PS4, you know, your PS4 normally, you know, you have the folks who put their own hard drives in there, like I did, the two terabit in mine.
Same here.
Yeah, same here.
But there are people who won't do that, though. There are people who, you got to think of Johnny Consumer, I guess.
I get what I'm saying?
That.
I get that, yeah.
Who won't go that far to extend the
capacity
of your console.
Yeah.
And so now that terabyte is starting to move into the default of what these consoles will offer, you'll start seeing SKUs. And I don't know if it's going to be 1.5 as the second tier, or if they're going to jump it up to 2 as the second tier.
I want to say jump it up to 2.
You want to.
I want to say jump it up to 2.
You want to, but again, they're throwing out games. There's Lethal Migraine says Halo 5 is around 100 gigs, and I know that they're going to put that, they're going to make that compatible with Xbox One X as far as doing 4K and HDR and that sort of thing. So I don't know if that'll increase that at all or not, the space on that. So it's just going to get bigger. The games are going to require more space, and it's still okay. I mean, I look at it a lot like Steam, where I have a ton of Steam games. They're just not all installed.
Mm-hmm.
I have them because I don't have the space to install them on my computer. Same thing for your consoles, really. I have I can go out and buy the games and then just install them as I want to play them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but a lot of people don't like to delete things from their console.
Yeah,
I didn't want to say hard drive because people on PC are throwing things away left and right. It's fine.
Just so I could install, you know, something else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it was. Like, as soon as I started Dishonored 2, I uninstalled one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I did that just recently because you and I went back and did the DLCs for Dishonored. And as soon as I was done with the DLC for Dishonored, I took it off my system and then put in and then installed Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
I did the same thing for Shadow of Mordor or Shadow of.
Yeah.
Shadow of War?
Shadow of War. Mordor. War is the new one coming out.
Oh, is it?
The one before this.
I just had to take off Fallout 4 so I could install Shadow of Mordor to try it during the free play days.
That's right. Yeah. It's free right now, I think, on Xbox One.
So I
uninstalled Shadow of Mordor when I got done, when I finished that up. I was like, all right, take it off the system.
Yeah.
Didn't need it. Not because it was taking up space. It really wasn't. But it's better to be... it's better to be more efficient that way so that things just don't sit there that you're not doing and just take up space. So,
yeah.
But console people don't like to do that too much. I know I don't like to do it very much. I've
done it like once or twice. There's two. I think there's, let's see, Let It Die I took off my console because I saw where it was going, saw the direction it was going, and I decided to get out of it. That and the thing was swelling up ridiculously in terms of how much it was taking up off the hard drive.
And let's remember here, like, I dread taking Batman Arkham Knight and all the DLC off of my PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a bunch of space, and the amount of time it took to download from the crap network that is PSN.
Yeah.
That and, like, some stuff, like, I have Silent Hill, the PT, that, you know, I think once you, if I were to take that off my hard drive.
Yeah, you can't get it back. There is things like that, but the network involved to get those games back when you download them.
Yeah,
PSN is horrible.
Yeah,
PlayStation Network. I can't say as much for Xbox because a lot of times with the free game things, I'm on the internet when I go. I'm on a browser page and I'm like, "Ooh, add that to cart. Add that to cart because it's free for the games with gold." It automatically sends it, and so next time I turn on my Xbox, it's, "Oh, hey, we downloaded this while you're
already in there for you." Yeah.
I know that they can do that on PS. I know they can do that on PlayStation 4. I think.
Yeah.
I think it'd be done on PlayStation 4.
I think even on Steam, you could remote install.
Their network is horrible to download things from.
Yeah.
The PlayStation Network, it is just repulsive. So that's the other reason that I don't like to delete things off of my console, because downloading them again takes forever.
Yeah, because I took a.
I'm gonna have to
during the mid-July sale for PlayStation Network. I think I bought one game. It was like 2.8 gigs. That was about 45 minutes.
What'd you buy?
Strike Vector EX.
Okay.
It was on sale, and I bought that and installed it. But yeah, that was about an hour. 45 minutes to an hour to get all that in there.
I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to take off my hard drive so I can install Until Dawn, because that came out on the free for this month, and I really want to play that.
I already had that on...
I don't know what the size on that one is, but you should be all right. Anyway, we've got to take a break. We're over our time here. A lot of the songs that we got for this week came from Sarah herself. I asked for suggestions since I knew she was going to be on, and so we got her suggestions. This is one as well. The track, she basically gave me some game names, and I just pulled tracks from that. There were a couple you asked for had vocals and stuff, and I tried to veer away from that. Plus, I think you're right. We already played the Dragon Age Origins one, so I pulled another track from that. So, here is Mass Effect 3. The track is called Mars, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with Matt, Sarah, RJ. This is music from a game called Arizona Sunshine. The track is called It's All Gone. Arizona Sunshine, it has been on PC for a while now as a VR title, and it has now been ported over to PlayStation VR.
Is that a zombie game?
Sounds suspenseful.
It is. It's a stand in one place and shoot zombies, and then I think you can teleport to other spots around the map and then shoot at zombies that are coming at you.
Okay.
So, one of those kind of games for you. Anyway, welcome back. We were talking about the Xbox One S and 4K and things like that, and how the specs for the Xbox One X, or the benchmarks anyway, they show promise. They're still not delivering true 4K content, and then of course there's all the problems with if they are even able to do that, how are they going to manage disk space? How are they going to how are they going to make it across everything? They did say that the boost up from the Xbox, from the 360 games, the Xbox original games, the Xbox One games, all the boosts that it's going to get whenever you put it into an Xbox One X will be massively significant, and look really, really good. They won't be delivering true 4K, of course, because they weren't built for 4K, but they will look better when you play them on an Xbox One X. Still not a reason for me to spend $500 on a console. I remember when the Xbox One was released with the Kinect in it. Mm-hmm. That was $500. And I remember it wasn't even, it may have been 6 months later when they dropped. They would have a sale on it. It's like, okay, now it's $450. Then it was 6 months later when they dropped the Kinect out of it. Mm-hmm. Said, hey, now we have the Kinectless Xbox One. So you can pick that up for, and it knocked $100 off the machine. You can pick it up for $400 without a Kinect. So I'm just going to bide my time on this Xbox One X and see where it drops from there as far as the price. So
I won't get one unless my Xbox One dies.
I don't even need one.
Get a PS4.
Yeah, I don't even need one. I have a 4K TV. So, I mean, that's honestly, that'll be the next thing that I move to. Mm-hmm. Like, when it comes to it, you know, I'm not going to be looking at picking up an Xbox One X. I'll be looking to pick up a 4K TV.
And at least, what, 85 inches?
Somewhere. I mean, that's going to start at 85. We'll go from there, you know, 85 for the, maybe just the bedroom. Right. And then, you know.
Just like a wall of, was it like a Total Recall?
Get a 115 for the den. I don't know. So, no, actually, I don't go, 65 is good. For the bedroom, 65 is fine. For the living room, I could go big on that. You know, I got a 70, 71, I think, or 73. Probably go bigger there if I wanted to, but I just don't do much in the living room anymore. I straight to the bedroom because it's so much more easier to just lay in bed and play games than it is to like sit in the living room and play games. I like it so much better that way. And I've got all my stuff hooked up to it, so if I'm done playing games, I can sit there and watch Netflix and fall asleep if I want to. Speaking of Castlevania.
Castlevania, I watched that last night.
Yes. 4 episodes. That's all you get.
I was kind of sad.
4 30-minute episodes. You can watch it fast.
Yeah.
I have not watched any of it yet, but I do plan on doing that.
I enjoyed it.
So, I'm glad you did.
I felt bad for Dracula.
The creator of that actually has talked about doing an Assassin's Creed anime now. Don't know if that's going to be for Netflix, but he was approached by Ubisoft and said, we'd like you to work on our Assassin's Creed franchise for an anime. Original story, not picking anybody from the
further
that we've seen.
Of, you know.
Yeah. Like, I'm done with Ezio. Loved him. But I feel like I've lived his life. We were there when he was born, and we were there when he died, and we went through a bunch of stuff in between. We good, mm-hmm. You know. I don't need to discover any more about him. So I'm fine with him bringing in somebody else as far as a new character to tell a story in that realm. Anyway, let's talk. Do I want to talk about Destiny?
No.
Well, it's so rare that Sarah's here and I can actually talk about Destiny and how much I want her to switch over to PS4, but the beta is coming up.
It is.
It's not this week, but it's next week.
And
it's,
she won't switch over to the PS4.
Yeah, it's not. I understand that. I'm not going to push her to do that anymore. It's fine. I mean, I could pre-order the game on Xbox One and then play, because it's a fresh start for everybody, right?
Yes.
But I don't want to own three copies of this game. It's bad enough that I own two copies on one system, as it is right now for Destiny 1.
I own two copies of Destiny 1 as well.
You had to get it digitally, right?
Yeah, well, I got it initially on the 360, actually.
Oh, I see.
And so then I picked it up digitally on the Xbox One with... I pre-ordered the Taken King expansion, mm-hmm. and so that ended up being a lot cheaper than getting the base game. And
I picked up, I had owned it for on disc forever, and then they had a flash sale on PSN. And I grabbed the digital version because that was just, I mean, if we're gonna go lazy on this,
yes,
the fact that I don't have to get up and change a disc anymore, that's again,
yeah,
digital future is in my
is
in my life.
Version, correct?
I have, yeah, well, that's, okay, physical copy, there you go. There's something that I bought, that I kept, that I did not open.
Mm-hmm.
It was the ghost version of Destiny. Mm. That was one I did not open. They did not make any more of those things. I felt like they would, and if they had, I probably would have opened it up, but they never did. I when I got in on that on the Amazon page, and then they never updated it with more stock,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh. I figured they would, and if they had done that, if they had made it more readily available, I probably wouldn't have cared and just opened mine up, but they never did, and so I kept that thing sealed. But, you know, now I'm at a... I've got to pre-order it. Mm-hmm. I've got to, so I can play the beta, and I haven't done that yet.
Mine is pre-ordered.
Yeah, I have not done that yet, and the beta starts a week from Tuesday mm-hmm. is when it starts. And I'm just trying to see. Let's see. I've got the list of everything that we can expect.
It's going to be a lot smaller than the Destiny 1 beta.
It is. It goes from... Oh, I see. The open beta is from the 21st to the 23rd. The people who pre-order will get early access to the beta on July 18th on the PS4. One day earlier than you Xbox folks, July 19th is when Xbox One people can play their early access of the beta. So for most people, it's the 18th and 19th through the 23rd, with the open beta on the 21st through the 23rd. We will get the opening mission and cinematics from Destiny 2's campaign, something that we've probably all seen plenty of times now because that's the only thing they've really shown off. We will get the brand new Crucible mode Countdown and Control. Control we're very familiar with. Countdown is the only Crucible thing they've shown off, so we know what to expect there. Countdown I don't care about, man. That for you didn't do Crucible stuff, but
I did a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you probably did the Iron
I mostly did Iron Banner.
Iron Banner. Yeah. I'm thinking Iron Hammer, Iron Man, what is it? Yeah, Iron Banner stuff, but Countdown is just elimination. That's all that is.
Mm-hmm.
With a little bit of a tweak on the gameplay, but it's still eliminate the other team, regardless of if they set off the bombs or anything like that. If you eliminate all the entire team, you still win.
Yep.
So, yeah. What else do we get? We get a strike, the Inverted Spire, which is one I've watched the entire way through. That was a kind of a new way to do strikes. I don't want to say a new way. It was
a way.
There was more to it, you know. There was more things going on in the strike. Environmental things you had to watch out for and stuff like that, which was kind of nice to see. You'll get the new subclasses, the new fighting style for each class will be at the ready. Choose from the Dawnblade Warlock, the Arcstrider Hunter, or the Sentinel Titan. And this is interesting. We won't have access to the farm, which is the hub space.
Right.
Have you seen that? Did you watch that video?
No.
The hub space now is a farm. Literally, it is a farm. For testing purposes only, we will get 1 hour to mess around in it.
Yep. It's the stress test.
Yeah, on July 23rd.
Hello.
So that's we can kick the ball into the net. We can befriend a chicken, as they say. This is what the thing's telling me. Most vendors and services will be offline. Again, this area will mainly be open for stress testing in order to see how many players it can accommodate at once. So, yeah.
I am so making a chicken friend.
It's not that much, honestly.
No.
You get the opening mission, and then you get some Crucible stuff and a strike. That's pretty much all you get. And nothing, of course, carries over. If you do participate in the beta, you'll get an emblem that will carry over. But progress and stuff like that, none of that will carry over for you.
Yeah, so. But with Destiny 1, they put so much in the beta that then when people got the game, they were like, oh, we've played all this.
True. So. I guess they kind of want to hold back. But I'm curious what the level cap would be, if it's just going to start with, like, here you go, your level... whatever, there's everybody's this, nobody increases or decreases, you just start, you're gonna start off here, go play, have fun. I'm not exactly sure how they're gonna do that. They haven't talked about it, but I've got to pre-order this game so I can get into the beta and see where I'm gonna be with it. PC, are you looking at possibly playing this on PC?
No, I still have not built mine, so okay. My little laptop would just cry.
All right. That was what I was going to get at. It's like, what are you playing PC-wise as far as, like, what's your rig? What's your gear? It's a laptop?
It is a six-year-old Toshiba laptop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know I bought you some games.
You have. I can't play some of them.
Oh, really? Ah.
Well, I mean, like, there's no way my laptop can play City Skylines.
Did I buy you that one?
You did.
Oh, man. So. And now it's out on Xbox One, and it's out on PS4.
I know.
I'll have to rethink what I'm going to do for you on Christmas this year as far as, like, what games I'm going to get you. Because now, knowing your PC thing, it's so easy to give games on Steam than it is anywhere else. Xbox is looking into doing gifting games. PS4, not so much, but I know the Xbox, Microsoft is looking at it for some time in the future. I didn't include that in my list of things because somebody tweeted him and said, how's that coming along? And the guy said... working on it, that's all.
Yeah.
And somebody made a news story out of it. Working on it. So, yeah. So, that's what we've got for Destiny. The beta is coming up. That's it. That's all I got. That's it.
STM Fuller says you should just give all my games to him.
Oh, just give the game. Yeah. Well, I bought Moltal some games this summer for the Steam sale. Did you pick anything up during the Steam sale? Probably not. But yeah, I'm curious how he's been playing those and if he's been playing those. I think he's in the chat room. Let's see who is all in the chat room.
He was earlier.
Let it refresh real quick, and I'll go over these names. We've got AC Wraith, Biosec 1, C. Krez, Lethal Migraine, Raspy Salamander, which is a fantastic name. Scotch is Awesome. That's a fantastic name. I love that name. I'm going to bump that guy up to moderator status just for the name alone. STM Fuller and Tactus59 are hanging out in the chat room together. So thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday. We're getting calls all over the place now, aren't we? All right, who was on line one?
42.
I'm sorry, say it again.
42.
42.
And real quick before we do that, accident on 65 northbound near mile marker 200 Verbena has traffic backed up.
Oh, all right. Is that, that's in your direction, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. You just hang around.
I live here
I'm
now.
I'm sure an hour it might be cleared.
You've just been through one of those long delays.
Yeah, 6 hours to get home the last time I was up here or down here.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Just do a dinner thing after the show, and then hopefully traffic will be open for you.
Hopefully.
All right, 42's on one, so let me hit the phones then. Talk to, hey, 42, you're on in-game chat with us.
All right, cool.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are y'all?
Not
We're
bad.
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm gonna tell everybody about a game I like. It's on mobile now, so.
Oh, it's a mobile game.
Y'all are probably like, I don't care how good it is. It's on mobile, so
No, you can tell us about a mobile. We don't really play much mobile games, but you're more than welcome to tell us about one.
But it's a good game. It's called Need for Speed No Limit.
Okay.
Y'all play Need for Speed on my PlayStation.
Yeah.
And it's a good game overall. I mean, it's a drag racing game on the console. You can play as a cop as well, chase drag racers, but in mobile you can only play as a drag racer.
What do you do on the mobile game? Do you just drag race and then, like, collect money and then, you know, tweak your car settings and stuff?
I gotta go. Bye.
Bye.
I gotta go. Run.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when you gotta go, you gotta go. Chris is on too. Hey, Chris.
What's going on, y'all?
Hey. Oh, not much. How are you?
Well, if that wreck's still on 65, you might have to take 31 on the way back then.
Yep.
You can do that. You know, it's, what time is it? It's 4:55. You should be fine.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right.
Oh, yeah, as long as nothing spilled.
Yeah.
So you'll be good on that.
Yeah, I think it'll be. I think it'll be done for you. Chris, what's going on with you, man?
Same as usual, playing my Necro in Diablo 3.
That's right, Diablo 3 with their DLC that they released. Still doing that, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm loving it. From what all the different builds I've seen that you could, I've looked up about getting the different set items to do this. Any of y'all else play it? I know you hadn't played it, Scott, but hey, anybody else played the old series or any of the other ones?
I have.
Do you remember the bone armor from the second one for the Necro that spun around him?
Yeah, I used to play the Necro.
Well, in this one, normally it would just cover your body, like, you know, you just pull the bones out of their enemies and they would cover you like in a bone armor. Mm-hmm. But there's a set that actually brings back the old spinning bones around you and it deals damage. And it's insane the amount of damage it does. And I've seen people going through, you know, they just walk around, you know, and just starts killing enemies everywhere. Just, it's nuts. So I'm working on getting toward that set so I can do that and have a lot more fun. But, yeah, it's been a blast.
Well, I hope you're having fun right now.
Yeah, taking a break from doing riffs and killing stuff.
All right. Mm-hmm. So basically that's occupying your attention. Anything else?
That's it for right now, and in another couple of days, I'll be getting that big collector's edition of Final Fantasy XII that Square is about to release.
Okay. Mm. What comes in that?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to look up again and see, but it was pretty expensive. You want me to come in a week or two down the road and show it off on the show or something?
Well, let me know when you get it.
Yeah, it's already shipped, so it should be, you know, at least by next weekend, if not, but I'll let you know.
Wasn't 12 a PS2 game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but Square Enix goes back and does these things, so.
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to remember which one of the games it was.
I remember when they talked about this one being released, and I was actually kind of interested in picking it up. Not for playing purposes, just because of the collector's edition with it.
Mm-hmm. And it's set in Inverness, right?
I think so. Yeah, 12 was the one that kind of felt like an MMO, but it's a single-player game, and you set the commands, you know, that the characters do this on certain circumstances, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one that they remade.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, I remember that one.
And I don't ever get too far into it, so that's another opportunity to, you know, to pick back up on it and see what it knows about it and all. But one of the things I saw online on a video, that the entire music is done by a live orchestra.
Hmm. So they recorded.
That's pretty
cool. They recorded it. They recorded. How did they? Live orchestra.
Yeah, come to your house. All the music in the game is from a live orchestra playing the music for them and then recorded them.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that sounds awesome. From what I can't wait to hear that. But
this was called the Zodiac Age, Chris, the collector's edition.
That's it.
Okay, yeah, I was pulled up some things on it. Let's see, it says the game itself comes with a Judge Magister's mini bus set. It seems like five little collectible figures in here, or five characters here. Soundtrack from the game from composer Hitoshi Sakimoto. A steelbook featuring art exclusive to the collector's edition. A set of six art cards featuring various characters from the game and the world of Ivalice. Digital code to unlock the original soundtrack background music option in-game. Released the 11th of July. So, yeah. Looks like a lot comes in here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, we appreciate you calling in, man.
All right. Well, y'all have a good one, and I'll contact you, Scott, when that comes in.
Yeah, just let me know. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Take care. All right. We're going to go into a top-of-the-hour break here. Nate's in the chat room. Thanks for showing up. I just wanted to tell him he's talking about maybe he's going to be coming back on the show, so just remind him to bring my PSVR back. He has had it for, many a month now. I don't know how many. Hopefully he's enjoyed, you know, playing it. I don't even know. I know he I want to hear his thoughts, basically. That was the whole thing, was for him to Bart, and I said, next time you come back, you can bring the PSVR back, and then we'll get your thoughts on it and how you enjoyed it. So hopefully we can have him back on and talk about that. We're going to go to a break now. When we come back, more in-game chat. If you want to get on the show and be a caller like 42 and Chris there, 334-272-9228 is the number. Next song. This is not one of Sarah's picks, because... Well, I had one from a recently released game, which was Arizona Sunshine. I said, hey, Sarah, I need six more if you can. She gave me five. So I had to pick one more. So after this one, it's Sarah's playlist after this one. This is the music from Don't Starve Together. It's the main theme for that. Interesting little game if you've never played it before. We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. And now the music kicks in. Music here from Dragon Age Origins. It's called The Proving Grounds. I'm Scott. We've got RJ, Sarah, and Matt here with us this afternoon. And a bunch of people in the chat room that I've already talked about. Nate's in the chat room now. Faye Gwent joined us. Orco83.
Orco, I like that.
Yeah, have joined us in the chat room as well. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can. 334-272-9228 is the number. 334-272-9228. Nintendo did a Nintendo Direct this week with Splatoon 2 being the focus.
Okay.
But they also talked about their phone app. Sorry. They talked about the phone app that they're releasing for the Nintendo Switch. It's a horrible idea.
Well, you can take one of the little controllers and use it as a phone?
Hmm? No. What?
I don't know.
No. It's the app. This is how you're going to communicate in online play is through your phone. I don't know how. There is some peripheral that some third market company is making. Our third, what am I trying to think of?
An app?
It's an outside market, or an outside company that's making it. Not a Nintendo official, but...
third party,
Third party. That's what I was trying to think of. Third market. Third party. Third world market thing.
Trickle down.
It's a third party that's making it.
High quality.
Is it going to be like a iPhone, Android?
Yeah, it's going to be iPhone and Android.
Windows Phone?
I guess. I really don't know much, but it's horrible.
Yeah.
Like they don't have any kind of community. You know how we use headsets on our PS4 and our Xbox One? We use headsets. PC, we use headsets. They don't have anything like that for the Nintendo Switch.
So just use your phone.
So your phone is going to somehow interact with the Switch, and that's how you can communicate over... multiplayer games with like your team and stuff, but I don't know how that works.
I'm gonna go with no.
I really don't know how it's gonna work.
Discord, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you can do Discord, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but if you're already using your phone, then There's better apps out there.
Yeah, it's not looking good. I think it's a horrible idea.
Do we have any headphones set up?
Huh?
Did the Wii have any headphones set up?
I don't know how the Wii did communication over games. I don't really think they did communication over games.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. Really?
I would think a game like Smash and Mario Kart, something like that, you'd be having a lot of... That would be a good opportunity to be talking through that.
I don't think they did anything with it. I really don't. I don't remember.
Okay.
I didn't have a Wii U. Until after. Until after that thing. Until they stopped production on that thing. So I didn't have a Wii U. And I didn't have a Wii long enough to really care. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know how they did that. But regardless, they're trying to do it with the phone app. It's also going to keep track of, as far as Splatoon 2 is concerned, it's going to keep track of your statistics in the game. It will keep track of, you know, when you set dates for, hey, we're going to play tonight, tournaments, things like that. The way the game rotates out maps and things like that, it'll keep you updated on those things and what's going on inside the game, that sort of thing. So it'll be a nice app for that game, and it's cool that it's doing that. I think the Destiny app is one of the great things that they've got for that. And there's a lot of third-party apps that interact with Destiny that are great.
The public event trackers were...
Right. I have no problem with any of those. Just using this, though, as your main way to communicate between players vocally seems horrible.
Yeah.
Just doesn't seem like it should work. So, we'll see. It's Nintendo. They've surprised me before with things. I don't expect to get surprised with this, though. Now, what else did we find out? Cuphead is strictly a Microsoft product, man. Somebody had asked them if it would ever be coming to PS4, and they said, nope, never.
Not so much.
It is a never-going-to-happen type of thing. Reminds me of Titanfall. Mm-hmm. Like, Titanfall, Xbox exclusive. Titanfall 2, everybody gets to play it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what they're... Are you interested in Cuphead at all?
Yeah.
It's a tough little game. It might be up your alley there, RJ, but you don't... Maybe. You don't have an Xbox One.
Nope.
Is it coming out on PC?
It will get a PC release.
So then that's how...
You're still building your PC, right?
Yeah, I'm looking for spare hard drives on the thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you got left to do on it? Outside
two,
of building
let's
it?
See. Well, two hard drives. Two hard drives, power supply. I found one that I'm looking into. Case fans, and that's pretty much it.
So you've already got your card? Your graphics card?
Yeah.
You already got your processor?
Yeah.
Nice. You're got the big stuff. Yeah, you got
the
big stuff out of the way now.
Yeah, that was the first thing I wanted to get. The first thing I wanted to get was the case. Then to get the big stuff out.
Yeah, got to have something to put it all in.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Although Jeremy once used a Subway box.
Yeah, I've seen those those weird builds. Like someone used a banker's box, a cereal box. Yeah. A pizza box. I've seen that done before. A box of Raisin Bran. Someone did that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, Lethal Migraine says, it's been 4 years. My interest in Cuphead has faded. I agree, man. This thing, I have seen Cuphead at so many events that I really thought it was just never going to make it to release. Mm-hmm. It finally got a release date, and I'm still a little sketchy on that, them hitting that date.
Yeah.
Sometime in September, I'm still like, it might get pushed back. It might get pushed back. They seem to be ready to go with it, but I played a little bit of it. I played a lot of it, actually, over the course of seeing it plenty of different times. Mm-hmm. Difficult little game. Mm-hmm. It really actually got... I don't know what setting I was playing it on, if it was set difficult or something like that, to a hard mode type thing, but it was difficult. Difficult to the point that I wasn't having fun.
Little demo thing, right?
Typically,
demos are just set to, like, one difficulty anyway, right?
Yeah, but
Normal or whatever.
I loved the animation, obviously, don't get me wrong. It's a beautiful game to look at, just for the animation alone. Not so much a fun game to play, though, for me. I think a lot of people will love it, but...
What exactly was the... what made it difficult for you? What was it just the...
We were flying planes, a little cartoon planes, and it was kind of a bullet hell thing that we were doing, and I died a bunch.
One hit and done?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Cups are fragile.
Hmm. planes too. Apparently.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I didn't enjoy myself with it. So, okay. What else? Let's see. Five Nights at Freddy's 6 got canceled even before we knew it was coming out.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name?
Scott Coffin. Coffee.
Yeah.
Coffin.
Yeah.
Something.
Anyway.
Phil Fifi. I don't know.
Yeah. Scott had put something up there saying that, hey, I'm working on Five Nights at Freddy's 6, but I'm going to stop working on it now and not work on it anymore.
Good.
Why good?
I don't know. Just, I think...
The animatronic scared you, didn't he?
Huh?
Did you play it?
The animatronic scared you, didn't he?
You played the first one?
Yeah. They just seem to be, like, the same thing over and over and over and over.
There was some interesting lore behind it. I don't know about sequels and stuff.
I don't know if Scott intended to have.
Yeah, I think
that
it was more people
was like
digging into it. Than...
I think it was like they speculated a lot and they got this big world out of it, out of the whole thing.
What did you, from someone who did play 2, 3, 4?
Well, I played 1, a little bit of 2.
Yeah. Oh, you never even went further.
I didn't go.
After
I didn't get 3 or 4. I played 1, a little bit of 2.
Sarah, did you touch any of those?
I didn't. Although, weirdly, in upcoming book catalogs, there are a ton of Five Nights at Freddy's books coming out for kids. Like,
lore stories, right?
So many.
And they're making a movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a movie about it as well. So it's still riding high. It's not really going to go anywhere. But I was curious to think what people thought from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. If it was doing all the same thing, how did it switch it up? Why was it, why people loved 1, so that warranted a 2.
Mm-hmm.
What did they love about 2 that warranted a 3? What changed in 3 that made them do a 4 and 5 and that sort of thing? Because this is a one-man operation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it was great money-wise. He was making money off of it, but he didn't seem the type, especially when he did, was it Five Nights at Freddy World or something like that? When he did the
mobile kid game or whatever?
There was some
he completely went in a different direction. Mm-hmm. He didn't really care too much about the money that it was bringing in after a certain point. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to make a game that he wanted to make.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to what was driving those sequels for him to make those and what people got out of them that were different from the previous one that they had played. That's what I'm curious about. None of us here played it, so I have no idea. But yeah, he's not working on 6. I don't necessarily know that I believe him on that, though.
I don't know where we're just going to get 6 popped up.
Right, because he's done that before.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, boom, put a game out there without any fanfare.
Here, 3.
Yeah, exactly. And so part of me was thinking, what if he's done this and it's going to be like a Frog Fractions thing? Where you're playing some other game and you trigger something and boom, here's Five Nights at Freddy's 6. Oh,
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that I believe him on that. So
just wait and see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how that's going to be. Platinum Games teasing Bayonetta on Switch. I don't know if you saw that or you heard about it. their Twitter account put a picture of Bayonetta, one with a blue background and then one with a red background. And they were on top of each other. The images were on top of each other, and a lot of people were taking that as the
Switch,
the Joy-Con controllers that are red and blue,
mm-hmm.
and thinking that was a tease.
My initial thought is like the Bayonetta 1 and 2 that was on Wii U.
Yeah,
they're gonna put it on Switch, so transfer from one console to another thing like
honestly,
that.
I'd like for them to do that on Switch because I didn't get in on a lot of games on the Wii U, so. If they wanna put out Wind Waker or a nice collection of Zelda games on the Switch, I would enjoy that.
But you have a Wii U, don't you?
I do now. Yes.
So you could play Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD and all those.
But think of the portability. That's one of the things that the Switch is really great with is the fact that it can become a portable game, console
for about half an hour.
No, you get 3 hours on it. You get 3 hours of playtime on it, but still, it's one of those things. This will be interesting when I go to PAX Prime this year.
See how many people are switching.
I'll have the Switch. I'm not going to carry it around the show floor, but I'll have it inside the hotel room, and I can plug it in and just play it.
Yeah,
that's it. I don't even have to hook it up to the TV. I can just sit there and play it in bed, or whatever. I can take it with me if I go somewhere and play it in a restaurant or something like that. Not that I'm probably going to, but just to be able to play a game, a console. I have a 3DS as well, but I mean, I'm basically transporting a console, a full console with me, without all the wires needed, without having to connect it to a TV, without having extra controllers. It's just boom, right there. So that's, I like that aspect about it. So for them to re-release Bayonetta, Bayonetta 2, Zelda Wind Waker, Tropical Freeze, well, they've already done Mario Kart, any of the other big titles that came out for Wii U, which there weren't many, but yeah, I'd like to have them just for the portability aspect.
Yeah.
So
I guess I'll still be waiting for Bayonetta 2 on Steam or something. I guess I don't know.
I know. I wish they'd get over that. I don't know why they haven't been able to do anything with that.
Yeah. But look, if
to Bayonetta, keep it off of or to move it outside of Wii U and put it on other platforms.
Yeah. Look, if Bayonetta made it to Steam, why not too?
I know.
So just wait and see, I guess.
Yeah. We were talking about Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War earlier. There was a thing now that lets you import your nemesis, your biggest nemesis from the nemesis system,
mm-hmm.
whoever that is. You can import them over to Shadow of War, and then your biggest follower or whoever was your like right hand orc, you can transfer them over. The thing that I found playing that game though was that the nemesis system was ridiculously underused in my playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Because in order to get a nemesis, you have to die. Like, they have to kill you in order for them to rank up and then become your nemesis.
Mm-hmm. I was doing really well at that this morning.
Dying?
Dying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. I didn't hardly die by, you know, in any of those kind of battles or anything. It was something I could easily get away from. I did it a few times. But that's the thing. When I did it and it bumped them up, you know, it ranked them up, mm-hmm. I had, like, revenge. I was like, I got to go kill them now. So it was never – they didn't kill me enough to really get this ranking of being any kind of a threat.
Yeah, so it was like one step forward, one step back, over and over, constantly again?
I didn't die much. But when I did and when I did and it ranked up that orc, I kept him on my radar and went after him when I could.
Mm-hmm.
And then I killed him. Yeah. So he didn't
back to where he started from.
Well, he did. He didn't go back to where he starts from. He did.
Okay.
But I don't have, you know, that doesn't make the next person in line your nemesis. Mm-hmm. It moves them up, but they're not your nemesis because they've never met you before.
Right.
You know, you haven't battled with them yet. So.
So no one was hard enough to become your nemesis.
Yeah. Okay. With the exception of, like, there were a few times, like, one of the big monsters killed me. But that doesn't count in the nemesis system.
Mm-hmm.
There were some deaths from the main villain at the end of the game, but that doesn't count in the nemesis system. So it had to be someone in the rankings of the orc army to do that in order to build that up. So and it just rarely happened for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a big bad to bring over, who is my nemesis. Even still, I don't have anybody who is my right-hand orc person to bring over either, because I used them in battles and most of them died. But they were good enough to be a distraction for everybody else while I did other things, even though they died. So hopefully they fix this in the new game,
mm-hmm.
where maybe you don't have to die, you know, or maybe your reputation can spread. Mm-hmm. Through the nemesis system, and maybe it worked that way or something. I'm not sure.
Because the way it is now, it ain't working.
It was for Shadow of Mordor, it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
I love the nemesis system, though. Don't get me wrong. The nemesis system is not broken. I love it. I wished that more games would have taken that concept and put it in their games. I love that aspect of having rivals like that,
mm-hmm.
that stay with you throughout the game. You know, going over to a game that I'm more familiar with, Burnout, whenever you get taken down by some other car, they become a nemesis. They don't necessarily rank up or anything. But when you get close to them on the race, their icon is a different color than everybody else's because they've taken you down before. So they're a revenge target.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. And I like something that spans through the game that can sort of have that thread. Story-wise, you would game Nemesis. Because there were story missions that you would do where you couldn't outright kill that orc. You could do damage to him, like maybe, you know, take one of his eyes or something like that. Mm-hmm. So then he's blind in one eye. He goes through in the story, he gets ranked up to other things, and of course he remembers what happened to him, like what you did, and then you fight him again later. But in order to advance the story, you pretty much have to kill him. So he wouldn't become, again, he's not going to become a big nemesis for me in that system.
Because he's dead.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to kill him to advance the story. Otherwise it ends and it's like, hey, he just ranks up, but he doesn't, he's still the boss that you have to fight to get through that mission.
Yeah.
You know, he may rank up again every time you die. That makes him harder to beat, but
eventually you got to beat him.
Yeah. He's got to die to advance the story.
So there were problems with it that I hope they've worked out there some way. I hope that I can have many more nemesis in my list rather than a bunch of dead orcs or people who just haven't faced me yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did you get the DLC
for Shadow of Mordor?
Mm-hmm.
I did.
STN Fuller's asking if it's worth $4.
Was that during you should call in. Was that during the sale? Because if you got it at sale price, sure. That's something I didn't play, was the DLC. I may need to go back and install it. I'm not kidding. I have the DLC because the Game of the Year edition was like $5 on sale.
Yeah.
And it's been $5 for quite a while. But I uninstalled that. Totally forgot that there was DLC. I knew there was DLC for like there was costumes and things like, or different outfits that your guy could wear and that
cosmetic
sort of thing.
Stuff.
But there was story mode DLC too.
Mm-hmm.
There was also like arena DLC stuff where, you know, take on waves of orcs and that sort of thing. But there was story mode DLC with that. I totally forgot. Yeah, dude, STM Fuller, the Game of the Year edition. If it's still $4, pick it up for $4, dude. Go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you've already bought the full game and just want to get the Game of the Year edition for the DLC, just go for it. Yeah. $4, pick it up. Do it. That's what I say. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll have our final segment of the show. And if you want to get in on the show, you can. 334-272-9228 is the number. Here is music from Castlevania, Lament of Innocence, as requested by Sarah.
Ooh.
This is the prologue. We'll be back with more in Game Chat after this. Game Chat with music from Final Fantasy X10, whatever.
X10?
Even worse.
20.
The track is called To Zanarkand. Zanarkand? Zanarkand?
Zanarkand.
Okay.
That was the first Final Fantasy with voice acting.
Yes, it was.
The whole laughing scene with Tidus and... it was bad.
A lot of people on in the chat room saying that Shadow of Mordor Game of the Year is $4 on Steam, $4 on Xbox,
yep.
$4 on PS4. Look, yeah, $4, man.
Yeah, it's definitely worth buying for $4. This isn't like Duke Nukem Forever when it's like $2 and you're like, I don't know, man.
That's an easy purchase.
I could go to Taco Bell for that.
Yeah. I don't exactly know what's going to carry over into the other game. I know they're trying to do the Nemesis system. They're bringing that over, but you didn't really make choices in the game, so I don't think there's going to be any kind of choices brought over or anything like that. I think the Nemesis system is about the only thing that you can bring over.
So I
that
guess
you could transfer.
Speaking of Shadow of Mordor, did you beat it? I guess you've been playing it.
I did beat it. We talked about... We didn't do over the games that we've played.
That's what I was trying to segue in.
Well, you weren't here, but I did beat that.
Okay.
Last week I talked about the ending of that game, so I did finish it.
I haven't beaten it yet.
I realize now, though, that there's story DLC that I haven't played. The other game that I've played, I went through the Dishonored DLC.
Yes, I did that as well.
That, the level design in that game outshines any other level design of any game that I've ever played, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Dishonored is just brilliant with its level design, and I believe it carries over in Dishonored 2.
I've been playing that.
I haven't started playing that yet. I wanted to take a break from my Dishonored, so I started Old Blood.
Okay. So when you did The Witches,
mm-hmm.
Did you finish it out lethal or non-lethal?
It was lethal.
Okay, I went non-lethal.
Yeah, I killed her, yeah. No, I did, my whole playthrough of Dishonored was...
Stabby-stabby?
Stabby-stabby. Here, we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how it doesn't work in other stealth games like Splinter Cell, but in Dishonored, you got two paths you can go, right? Lethal or non-lethal. You can go good or you can go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, the canon ending is when you play good, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the ending. That they stick with,
yeah.
Which I think is stupid. I wish they wouldn't stick with any ending. I wish they'd just carry over and not let it be canon, just be your own playthrough.
I wish Dishonored 2 could read your save file for Dishonored 1. And, depending on which ending you went. But then that would be a little bit tougher, because especially with 2. But, if games did that, where they could, see how you went originally...
Well, my problem is that they give your character all these different powers that basically rip other people apart.
Yeah.
So you can't use them. You can't use anything that they give you power-wise...
That's the responsibility of power, Scott.
That's the stupidest thing in the world.
Because I'm going through a 2 right now as stealth and non-lethal. So I'm ghost... this last mission, I ghosted and didn't kill anyone.
I talked about this, but the ads for Dishonored 2 showed what's her name? What's the girl's name?
Jessica Elizabeth? I don't know.
No.
Elsa?
No.
Horatio? I don't know.
What is her name? What is
I
the daughter's name?
I
it's Corvo,
it.
And then bleh.
Chick.
Could you Google in that real quick there,
I'm
RJ?
Looking this up. Who's this? Corvo and who?
I don't know.
What game is this?
Lady? Is it a lady? Lady something?
Well,
the wife was...
Dishonored 2 characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Corvo and then the woman.
The Empress.
Girl Corvo.
Probably in the chat room.
Corva.
Emily Caldwell.
Emily.
Yeah, but say
close.
In the chat room by now.
God. I am so sorry, chat room.
Girl Corvo.
I like Girl Corvo, though. So, yeah.
You can play either as Girl Corvo or Male Corvo.
They just said her name, man.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Emily or Corvo.
She's the one who gets kidnapped in the first one.
She is.
She does.
The trailers for Dishonored 2, the trailers for it, the gameplay for it, the television advertisements for it, all saw her doing this really awesome stuff, but she was killing everybody she came in contact with. They used that as the marketing. Look at all this neat stuff you can do with all these neat tricks you have, and look how horribly you can mess up your bad guys, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not really what we want you to do for the good ending. You don't need to be doing that. For the ending for the true ending, you need to go stealthy and not kill all these people and be non-lethal and stuff like that.
Oh, the harder route.
It annoys me, though, that they give you all of this, but then they punish you when you use it.
Yeah, like, since I'm going through a stealth, I have a metric ton of bullets. Like, I max out bullets. I keep on finding bullets, but I don't use my gun because it's loud and it kills.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't even really use my crossbow except to maybe, like, you know, distract people. You know, I'm, like, all sneaking up behind them and choking them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it makes it more interesting. I think when I go through playing through as the second time, because you could play through as, you know, either character, and you get your powers taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could either go through with powers or even without powers, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think next time I'm going to go
through. Yeah, I'm sorry. How are you going through this first playthrough?
Corvo, with powers, stealth, no kill.
Okay. You're playing it nice.
That's what I'm trying to. I might just get frustrated and start blowing everyone up.
I'm going
to
be, and you're going male flowers. I'm going Lady Death.
Yeah.
opposite thing. That's what I want to do. I haven't started that yet, but I am on, chapter 7 of an 8-chapter game with Old Blood.
Are you going to do the DLC?
There's Old Blood. There's DLC.
Oh, no. Old Blood is the DLC.
Yeah, Old Blood's the DLC. Yeah.
Did you already do New Order?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I played New Order on James's account, which is weird, because you could do the Steam Share thing. So I played, turns out I don't even own New Order, because I thought I did, but I originally played that game through Steam Share with James' account.
Mm.
And that's how I had Old Blood on my system, because I thought, oh, I've got Old Blood, I should play it. Because it registers as, you know, me having the game.
Right.
And I went to try and play it. It wasn't working. And I was like, oh, this says Fishbang's Games. we have lost that connection. Our Steam Share thing is not working correctly. So I actually had to buy it. Luckily, Steam sale was going on. Picked it up for $10.
Okay. It's worth it.
And I'm playing through it now.
It is worth it.
You know, there's more Wolfenstein 3D that I feel like I'm playing than Wolfenstein Old Blood. You know, when he takes a nap, when he goes to rest, and then you play the old whatever bit game that was.
Yeah.
The old PC version of the game, you know, the old Wolf 3D. I feel like I play more of that than I actually do of the regular game.
Really?
Well, because it's maze-like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to go through and find where the key is to open up the door and to get back and whatever else. It's not maze-like when you're playing the main game. It's very, like, go in this direction, and then, boom, you're there.
Kill.
Yeah, there is no searching for keys or searching for doors or going. There's no maze to it.
Did you do Doom?
I've not played Doom. I have it.
They have.
I started playing it. I never finished.
It's not as much. Like the depth of the,
I know they have
the
it.
Throwback.
Yeah.
It's more like you go into like one room that was from a game, and I remember like going into this, you know, some of the rooms saying, and I remember exactly where in the level this was,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the full level or an extended part. It's just like a room, but it's still kind of neat to, you know, get your little sprite power ups and.
Yeah, I love the I love Old Blood. As soon as I started playing it again, I was like, oh, man, this is great. Because I had forgotten what that felt like playing the New Order. So Old Blood is just fantastic. I'm enjoying it. I think it might be a little short, but then again, on DLC terms, I think it's exactly what it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been playing. Matt, you've been playing Dishonored 2, which we just talked about.
Been playing that.
And
I think when I'm done with that, I'm going to do... There's no DLC for it, right?
Dishonored 2, there will be coming up, but I don't even know that's DLC.
I think it's a standalone.
Yeah, I think, well, it's an expandalone, I think, is what James likes to call it. So I think that's what it is. But that's coming up in September or October. October's already packed with stuff.
Everything.
Yeah. Sarah, what about you? What have you played recently, lately?
Not a lot. Well, my work schedule right now is 6:30 a.m. until 8 p.m., so doesn't leave a lot of time for games, but a little bit of... Mass Effect Andromeda, which I'm still slowly working my way through, and then I picked up Shadow of Mordor for the free-to-play days and learned that I am really bad at it.
It's Batman combat, basically. You know, it's Warner Brothers, Batman Combat, but...
Yeah, if I could use the bow more, I would be fine, but I find myself in very large crowds of orcs, and then that goes poorly.
I don't know if there's any kind of cheats for that game. I know on PC there are plenty of cheats for it.
Are there?
Oh, yeah. For Shadow of Mordor?
I didn't even bother to look those up.
Oh, yeah. No, there's tons. Most of them you don't...
Need.
However, for the bow, there's one that, like, gives you infinite... Whatever that power is that slows
like
everything.
Elf shot or
yeah,
something.
Elf shot. Gives you infinite elf shot. Not necessarily arrows, but like how time slows down. You're using up a meter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suck at that because even with a mouse, I'm sitting there trying to aim so like, let me get it. Because they're still moving. They're moving really slow, but they're still moving. I'm like, get it there. Get it there. You know, I just can't be quick with it. So no, there's tons of that for Shadow of Mordor. I think there might be some for Dishonored too.
I need a really.
Not Dishonored 2. I meant Dishonored.
Also.
Yes. Not Dishonored 2. I picked
that up.
Yeah.
I think after this, I want to get back into Fallout 4, but I also need to finish Shadow of Mordor.
I'm going through the games that are having sequels being released, so that's why I'm doing. That's why I did Dishonored because it's going to have the expand alone thing. That's why I'm doing Wolf because it's going to have the new Colossus coming out, that sort of thing. So I'm going through there. Mad Max is one I just want to get off my plate because it's been in my thing for a while.
It's been installed on your hard drive for a while.
Well, it's so repetitive. So at this point, I'm just like, you know what? I'm screw this side quest. I'm just going to stick to the story and go through it
just
and
get it done.
Yeah. I really feel that way because that's what Shadow of Mordor taught me. Stop messing around with all these little side things and going just to kill orcs and whatever because you don't get any of the really cool powers until you progress through the story. The story opens up the powers. The powers for you to brand orcs so they can fight with you, that happens way later in the game. So there's a whole nother map.
Okay.
There's a whole other map in Shadow of Mordor that I never knew about until I played more of the story.
I still need a Witcher 3. I need to finish that out.
I swear, Sarah, I don't know if it's you or not. We're getting a ton of people following us on Twitch. I just got 4 emails, like, boom, right there. I think it's...
It's the paper cranes. They're mesmerized.
Man. RJ, what about you? What have you been playing?
Played a little bit of Sleeping Dogs. I finally got that
in
the PS4.
A fun game.
It is until you when you learn to which side of the road to drive on, because it does take place
in Hong Kong. Yep.
So you're on the, I'm like I'm having head-on collisions in the first 15 minutes of the game because I'm not getting it right.
You know, I lived for a couple of years in England, right?
Right.
And when I first came back to the United States, I was living in Pensacola, and like the first weekend I got back, I got in a car. And then got to a T intersection, turned, and I was on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah,
just not thinking.
Yeah.
So you get used to it. And
yeah, getting in on the wrong side of the car, always getting on the passenger side instead of the driver's side.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real authentic. So I give props for the authenticity of the game. So yeah, I'm having a little fun with that. Haven't made too much progress. I think I got to the point where I've met Amanda in the story, so if anyone knows about the game itself, I've met Amanda and learned some few moves from the dojo.
I've got that on PC. That's something I should probably look into as well.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You've been collecting
the dojo statues for the dude. Yeah, 12 statues are missing from the guy's dojo. Someone came in and stole them. He stole 11 of them. He has one, so you got to go around and find the rest of them. I think I found 3 or 4 so far. And every time you do, you get a new move from him. So that's incentive to go out and find the rest of them.
Haven't gotten all the DLC. There's like extra costumes that you could get that have stat boosts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the
vehicles.
The outfit I got now is the minor thug outfit. It's the one that gives 5% boost to your melee. So since I'm no gun or anything like that, so I'm sure Hong Kong
guns. Unlike Grand Theft Auto, guns are hard to come by in this game. You know, there are a few, but, I mean, it's mostly melee and punching.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure eventually you're going to get your hands on one, the way this game is going.
Like I said, there are a few, but it's not like, ammunition or
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Still under commercials, by the way.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So I've
fun game.
Yeah, so I'm having a little good time with that.
Have you tried the, was it the Death from a Thousand Cuts, I think it was?
No.
It's, you know, basically how long can you last, you know.
Survival mode?
Survival mode, yeah.
Okay.
No, Lethal Migraine says use motorcycles. They're much easier to maneuver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that is true. I've learned that, and you don't have to worry about which side of the car, which side of the vehicle you get in on. Either way, it works.
I got the Johnny Rico outfit that allows you to like jump further to attack, you know, to hijack moving vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun. And actually, I have a motorcycle that's like a cloud.
Hmm. Like Final Fantasy Cloud? Or?
No, like a cloud.
It's a motorcycle, and was a Care Bear thing?
It has like a cloud underneath it, and it's like
it's not showing my age, but it might be showing yours if you get if you get the joke.
No, I get it. No, it's like a radiant. I think the outfit that it comes with is supposed to be like some kind of like a
Technicolor Dreamcoat.
No,
okay,
Hong Kong, like a.
That's all I can think of, man.
A Chinese deity and everything. So like you have like the cloud.
Sound like you're describing the Nimbus cloud in Dragon Ball.
I guess, yeah.
Or something like that. I don't something know. Like that, I guess I'll skip that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of.
So I'm
nothing more threatening than the man showing up on a cloud.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I've been playing a little bit of that. And for the rest, for the most part, I was playing the Golf Club 2.
That's right.
I am still learning how to hit proper shots with that because I've been playing this for a little over a week now. Every shot I've taken has gone to the right. It pulls right. It's something about that analog, but I guess the way you pull it, because the way you do a shot is you pull the analog stick back and then you push it forward. And the accuracy depends on where the stick lies when you go back and forth. And apparently, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm looking at the stick when I'm using it, and I'm going up, but the shot keeps going right. So I guess it's on the backswing or something. So to adjust, I've had to move the add, draw, and fade to every shot to make sure it goes straight, more straight than normal. But the thing about it is, golf, just like golf, you have to take a lot into account. You got to take a wind direction, which club are you using, how much loft do you put in there, how much draw, how much fade, what type of surface is the line on. Do you want to hit the left side of the green or right side of the green, depending on all the hills and the variation in the.
Lethal Migraine says you're not alone in this. That a lot of people are complaining about straight shots are about pretty much impossible.
Yeah, I mean. And like I said, to fix that, I've had to put a lot of draw and fade on the shots, especially with the driver and woods. I've had to do put a lot of draw on that. But but the payoff comes really when you take in all those things into account and you do it right. That's the payoff you get from doing this game, because there have been times when you do take things into account and you do everything right and the shot still goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you missed. I mean, that's how I've taken it. But I understand for years watching my dad play golf out of the Lagoon Park here, I can see why people take their clubs and throw them halfway down the fairway or take their bags full of hundreds of dollars worth of equipment and throw it in the water somewhere and they're done with this game, fed up. You know, like how someone gets salty and pops off during a fighting game tournaments that I've seen mm-hmm. over and over again, or someone wants to break their controller, which is too expensive for my taste, so I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that. But yeah, it's worth going through all that frustration to get the to when you start getting it right. And eventually, if I keep playing this enough, I'm going to start getting a lot of shots right.
Awesome.
So, I've also tried the societies portion of the game. You build a society, invite people to it, you know, give yourself some fees to join, and you can add this money to tournaments, and people will play your tournament, and they'll compete for money prizes and what there. Because they do say in the game, you have to spend money to make money. So, yeah, you have to, when you get your societies up and running, you get more people joining there, the money will start pouring in, and you can do all types of stuff for everybody who joins your society. So that's a nice little aspect of the game that I need to get into. So I've built one, and if anybody's interested, it's called the Brass Anchor. So just look for that and see if you can join up. When I get the thing up and running, maybe I can get some tournaments going.
Pop that up on our Facebook page, too, whenever you do that, and I'll get you can get a tweet out if you want to.
Yeah.
And just keep reminding us about it in every episode. That's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
All right. Anything? What was else? There was something else. Oh, just these are little bitty things here. The Destiny 2 apparently will have locked loadouts at some point. Mm-hmm. Like some of your missions, some of your things that you do, you won't be able to change your loadout mid-game or mid-mission, whatever it is. You'll have to go in with whatever you've got. So you won't be able to change up your weapon on the fly. There was that. And then, apparently it's the summer of Halo or Halo summer or something like that. They're going to do backwards compatibility for all the Halo games onto Xbox One. All the 360 maps that were DLC for every Halo game will be available for free to download. This includes Reach. This includes ODST. Well, Reach was already backwards compatibility, but this includes Halo 3, ODST, Halo 2, Halo 1, stuff like that. So
ODST is still my favorite.
ODST was my favorite as well. So it's great that they're doing backwards compatibility of this beyond the Master Chief Collection, which you had to pick up in order to play that. So I'm glad it'll be available. And all those maps are going to be completely free.
Will it be, like, digital so you can, like, buy them and play them? Or?
Well, it's all digital. Yeah. That's the only way you can play it is digitally. I mean, if you've got the disc, you put it in the system, and it says, oh, you own this, and then it downloads it.
Okay.
But then you have to...
I'm, like, wondering, would I have to buy the Master Chief Collection?
No. You don't have to buy the Master Chief Collection. But if you already own the games on your 360 and still have them...
I do.
You put the disc in, and then you can play that.
Okay.
So it has to have... It's just like Red Dead Redemption when I had that. I had to have the disc in the machine in order to play Red Dead Redemption, even though I was playing it from a download. The disc was there to verify that I own the game. Although they had a sale recently, and I went ahead and bought it digitally. So, everything is pretty much in Master Chief Collection that I know of. But I'm not sure about the DLC maps. I don't know. I need to read more. Let me see. Let me read more on this real quick. Do we have time? Got a little time.
ODST was in Master Chief Collection?
It was as a download.
Okay.
Depending on today, Microsoft and 343 Studios kicked off the Halo Summer Celebration. A ton of news. Leading things off was words that Halo 5's 4K upgrade on Xbox One X. So they're going to do that. They called it a true 4K update. Additionally, 343 said it was working with Microsoft to add four legacy Halo games to the Xbox One backward compatibility list. Halo 3, ODST, Halo 4, and then Halo. All will include their original campaigns and multiplayer modes and support for LAN play, including play between Xbox One and Xbox 360 devices. As an added bonus, the Xbox Store will offer every Xbox 360 Halo add-on map pack for free. So there you go. They promise lots more to come in this. The 10th anniversary year for Halo 3, including a Halo 3 anniversary throwback playlist for Halo 5. This is getting confusing. That's what we're getting there. And now we have to write, God, the amount of new followers we're getting.
Something's wrong.
I'm not trusting it.
Not at all.
Look at this number. Let me refresh. Look at this number. Wait, it's refreshing. We're at 26 new followers just since we've been on.
Something's wrong.
You going to come back next week? Let's go for 30. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. We want to thank everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or wherever you get our show for later use. We do appreciate that. We appreciate everybody in the chat room. So go to endgamechat.net, join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Join the 26 or 7 other people and subscribe to our YouTube or our Twitch channel if you'd like. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on PS4 or Xbox, we've got groups there as well. Sarah, thanks so much for making the trip.
Absolutely.
I hope your trip home is good.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. Yeah. And again, anytime you want to come, you are more than welcome to be on the show with us. So we go out on another track that Sarah selected. This is from the Banner Saga. It's called Our Heels Bleed from the Bites of Wolves. That's what it's called. Anyway, see you guys next Saturday. Have a great week.